I entitled my message this week, On the Fringe. Did you ever feel like you're on the fringe? Well, our scripture text this week is out of Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And then we'll take down a look at a couple verses from verse 18 to 26. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. And the subtitle of this is Jesus Calls Matthew. As Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collector booth. Come, be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. That night, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. The Pharisees were indignant. Why does your teacher eat with such scum? They asked of the disciples. And when he heard this, being Jesus, he replied, Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And then he added, Now, go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. For I have come to call all sinners, not just those who think they're already good enough. And may God add his blessing to that part. Now we drop down to 18 through 26. And Jesus heals in response to faith. As Jesus was saying, the leader of the synagogue came down and knelt before him. My daughter had just died, he said. But you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand upon her. As Jesus and the disciples were going to the official's home, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his garment. For she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Jesus turned around and said to her, Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he noticed the noisy crowds and heard the funeral music. He said, Go away, for the girl isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowds laughed at him. And when the crowd was finally outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept throughout the entire countryside. May God add the blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His holy and precious Word. You know, we've been in and out of hospitals and doctor's offices, Judy and I. Judy, as some of you know, cancer has come back, and she's in treatment for doing some other things. And we notice in the hospital and the people that all the medical workers kind of wear different color uniform, for lack of a better term. I think some of these men and women are like other people who wear protective clothing and aprons or even uniforms, that these not only identify you with a certain profession, but assist you in the form of trade that you might be dealing with. Like a waitress wears an apron. A chef wears a kind of apron-like garb. A tradesman wears a tool belt or heavy apron. A policeman wears a uniform and a belt. You would never do your job without wearing some special garb. Really? Depends on your craft or trade. Like I mentioned, you could tell the difference between the nurses and the doctors and all the people that help in the hospital, including those who take care of maintenance and clean the floors. Well, likewise, a prayer shawl has a similar purpose. Now, those of you who have been in the church, you see that behind the pulpit, I have a tallit, Jewish prayer cloth, basically. This prayer cloth has a special purpose. Sometimes, in particular, a lot of women wear prayer shawls. There's even some of the women group that'll make prayer shawl, not necessarily like the tallit, but, you know, they'll pass it out and they'll pray. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. But women in particular have donned a prayer shawl in order to meditate or even spend alone with God. Jewish men today, and some Jewish women too, wear what we call a tallit. It's a kind of a prayer shawl that indicates he or she is in worship or prayer mode while wearing it. The Jewish tallit, like I have back on behind the pulpit, is especially interesting as it comes with a kind of fringe. We are all on the fringe sometimes, but the message is about the fringe. It's called a tzitzit, and the tzitzit, in fact, could be sewn into any piece of clothing, such as a shirt or a tunic, but it's always sewed on the four corners of the tallit, or prayer garb. While the tallit itself indicates the wearer is covering him or herself in the presence of God, the tzitzit has even a deeper meaning. The threads, knotted and twisted together, remind the wearer of God's commandments and presence, just as the worker's apron becomes a kind of an extension of who or she is. The hem of the tallit, along with its accompanying tzitzit threads, also represent the extension of its owners, their person, and authority. The tzitzit, in essence, extends and accents the hem of the garment. In the case of a rabbi or a priest, the tallit and tzitzit become vitally important as holy symbols of God's presence. The book of Malachi, which we don't look at that often, we should. The book of Malachi, we find an even more important reference to the tallit and to the tzitzit. But to you who revere my name, it says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing wings. Chapter 4, verse 2. And the wings refer to the tzitzit on the end of the wearer's tallit. He who is the Messiah was expected to have healing power in the hem of his garment. So when the Messiah appears, there will be healing, for he is the Son of Righteousness, who bears the power of atonement upon and within his person. So the tallit and the tzitzit, as an extension of his personhood and power, have therefore the ability to heal anyone who touches it. In fact, Jewish lore has it, even looking at the tzitzit of the Messiah can save one from your sin. Pretty cool, right? Well, this prophecy and this Jewish garb have important meanings for us today in the scripture that I read. In the scripture passage, we see a number of events happening. First, Jesus calls Matthew, tax collector for the Romans, to be a disciple. And as he sits and eats dinner with him and other tax collectors, the Pharisees critique him. He replies that he has come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Those who are well is no need of a physician, he said, but those who are sick. So Jesus sees himself as a spiritual physician who heals sin as he heals ailments. Now, while he was saying these things, again, Jesus' comments and teachings are always followed by a practical meaning, maybe like a proverb or something like that, but he was talking to the leader of the synagogue who comes into the dinner and kneels before Jesus, saying that his daughter has died, but that he knows if Jesus lays his hands on her, he can raise her. So Jesus gets up to follow him. I think it's important that we note that the synagogue leader is already sure that Jesus has the power, the authority to raise his daughter from the dead. This is significant because it's the presence of God is with him as Messiah. Now here's the interjection into the story. Sometimes we call it a sandwich story, you know, because the meat is in between two pieces of something. But suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. Some translations say garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well," and instantly she was made well. After this, he goes on to raise the leader's daughter from the dead. After putting out those who had no faith in his abilities, he said, "Go away, I'm going to go in there," and he took the girl's hand. The hemorrhaging woman only touched the hem of his garment. She touched his tits, and the healing in his wings cured her. Well, this is a sign of the Messiahship of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. God's presence and power are within him. He is the Son of Righteousness. He heals the spirit as well as the heart and the body. And in one fell swoop, voila! Well, both the leader of the synagogue and the hemorrhaging woman had great faith in God's power through his Son and Messiah. So both events witnessed to the power of God and to the identity of Jesus. But these events also witnessed to another truth about God and the fringe. That's what I was getting to, was on the fringe. God's healing, God's restoration, God's salvation, God's cleansing power and presence is not restricted to just a few. No, no, no. Jesus is not selecting some and rejecting others. But the key to healing is through faith and faith alone. Matthew, you know, the tax collector, along with his many tax collector friends, did not fit the bill of acceptance with the Pharisees or the religious leaders. Those guys over there, them tax collectors, they bad people. But they are welcome in God's kingdom. Jesus said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Son of Righteousness has no need of those who see themselves as having it all wrapped up, or those who are constantly already reminded of God's presence. But he, Jesus, is interested in those on the fringes of society, those who need restoration, both spiritual and social, those who need to know that they are welcome to shelter under the wings of God's presence and power. Hallelujah. Those such as even tax collectors and women with the hemorrhage, even those deemed sinners by their peers, children, as well as the synagogue leaders. The amalgamation of people within this story is paramount. The synagogue leader bows down before Jesus, and while others scoff, his faith is strong in Jesus' ability to heal through the power of his personhood. While some would have said, "Hey, he had done something wrong, and therefore his daughter suffered. That's why she died." Jesus restored not only his daughter, but also his honor. Think about the hemorrhaging woman. We've heard that story many times, quite well, on the margins or the fringe of being acceptable in Jewish society. She was unclean. She had faith far beyond anyone else in the story. She believes that all she needs to do is touch his hem, the tzitzit, and she will be healed. She believes that God's power resides in Jesus and as an extension within his hem and the fringes of his garment. This is, in fact, enough to heal her. Or as Jesus would say later to his own disciples, only a crumb of faith is enough to move mountains. Well, her story may not be the main story in this scripture passage that we read, but the fringe story is the most powerful story. Jesus' fringe healings convey the message that God rescues the sinners, the weak and the unacceptable, the marginalized, and deems them his beautiful and worthy children. Wow, what a joy. Well, through the power of faith, we're healed. I mean, we got accepted. It is by faith. Through the power of faith, God grants us access to the throne of the Lord. God's presence in the form of the Holy Spirit of Christ is always with us. And as we don our prayer garments, whether real or imaginary, and come into His presence of the Lord, we're reminded of God's immense power and presence and His ability to heal us, to restore us, to save us, and to grant us the gift of wholeness and inheritance. All we need is faith in Him, that even from a distance of years past, a distance of time and space, a distance of invisibility, a distance of generations gone by, that God's power is still as strong as it was that day when an unnamed woman touched the fringe of Jesus' garment and moved from fringe to four in God and everyone else's eyes. Wow! You know, it's just amazing. Well, you know, we say, okay, well, Judy's going through things. Why isn't she healed? Well, we have medical technology. God heals in a lot of different ways. And she's having a tough time with it. But our faith has given her the strength and wisdom and the medical technology that is available to us. And yeah, God can do miracles. He can heal her without going through all that stuff. But you think about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. What a wonderful thing. Lazarus was sick, or maybe, as some theologians think, that maybe the Sadducees and the Pharisees put out a hit job on him, if you know what I mean. But when Jesus arrived and he found out that Lazarus was dead, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Come out, Lazarus! And he was raised from the dead. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful thing. But guess what? Eventually, Lazarus died. But he went to heaven. These bodies that we have are not made for eternal life. Yeah, we have to go through things, and sometimes we have a challenge, and we don't know why this or that. But if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. I like what Alan Jackson, a pastor friend of mine, not the singer, he says, you know, this is this earth suit that we have. You wouldn't want to take this earth suit to heaven, would you? No, we want to get the glorified body. But while we're here, God can give us power, grace, and wisdom through medicines and through medical technology. And we thank God for hospitals and doctors and nurses and all that, because these bodies can be healed for just a little bit longer. But the fringe is the witness. The fringe is the proof that God is not only present and powerful, but merciful, receptive to each and every one of us. That's all. You know what word all means? It means all. It doesn't matter if you come from the fringes of society. And it doesn't matter if you come from the highest echelons of society. It doesn't matter if you've fallen in the past. And it doesn't matter if you lived an immaculate life. The key to God's mercy is faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in His power and His justice. Faith in those on the fringes and the margins are good and worthy as those people in the elaborate clothing and whatever else. Because faith that you are who Jesus says that you are, a child of the living God, beautiful, worthy, and restored. Have faith. Jesus hears you. Call upon Him today. Go forth in peace, and your faith has healed you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful day.